All righty, here we go. Friday morning, All Saints Day. Hope you had a great Halloween and that everybody was safe and you got a lot of candy and all that kind of stuff. Today, it's raining already this morning. I'll tell you what, today is November 1st, and it felt outside with the humidity. It was 73 degrees like it did the night that Francine passed through. It was that hot and humid, and it's November 1st. So I say this not to have an argument about climate change, but for those of you who, through your thought process, would text me when it's 40 degrees on December 15th and say, where's your climate change? Well, if that's your logic, then you would then have to say me, text me today and say, well, apparently if it's going to be 81 degrees on November 1st, then there's something to it. Highs in 82 today, 82 through the weekend, then going up to 85 next week. Maybe a cold front by next Saturday to bring it down the highs to mid-70s, which is hardly from cold. Presidential election on Tuesday. Matt McCorkle joins us now, a professor of the practice at Duke University's Terry Sanford School of Public Policy. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good, good.
What's going on? You are on the ground in North Carolina, are you not?
I am. Very tight race.
How has, I get them confused, Helene, I guess it is, right, factored into this?
Yes, 25 to 30 counties have been significantly affected in the West. That is usually a stronghold of Republican vote. But Asheville, Buncombe County, was also devastated. And that's a Democratic stronghold. So it's unclear. It appears that people in early voting are voting more than a lot of experts thought. So we'll have to see. A lot of people at first thought that that might be a problem for the Republicans, but that's unclear.
So you got the logistics, right? The pragmatic part of it, the political part of it. Trump, I think, was in North Carolina saying that, going back to the Biden thing with the garbage, which, you know, you're garbage, I'm garbage, no, I'm garbage, you're garbage, we're all garbage. I don't know where it stands today, but
yes,
telling the people of North Carolina that the current administration was treating them like they're garbage. The question I'm asking you is, there in North Carolina, is that message resonating with people? Because the governor said that, no, they're getting everything they need from the federal government, and it just seems as though the Trump campaign are the people pushing that message, not... I don't know. Tell me what the feeling is on.
It's part of the extreme Trump message that you would think would be risky. But a number of local Republicans, as they have in other states, have said, no, there is no problem, you know, with the federal government's response. But this is, you know, Donald Trump is not the qualifier or the precision candidate. So, you're right. I mean, he's the one who said the United States had turned into a floating pile of garbage before his comic said that Puerto Rico had. So it's hard to gauge because it's just not like any other conventional politician.
What I find interesting about that is that just having been through Katrina here, right, and knowing what it's like, I guess it goes to everybody's going to be disrupted after a storm like that, right? I know what it was like here, and I'm just wondering, going back then, would I look through it as, all right, the storm, this is a massive storm that devastated a lot of different things, and nothing's going to come back right away, or would I look at it through, this is my guy, this is my woman, this is who I decide to follow, and then, therefore, I'm going to let them dictate my feelings as to the response. Do you understand what I'm trying to ask you?
Exactly. And that's, you know, what that has allowed Trump, or has created for former President Trump, perhaps the strongest political base of supporters that we've ever seen. The question is for him, let's say that's 40%, 40, even maybe a little bit more. Can he get to 50? And that, you know, can he get to a majority? Can people who aren't so attracted to that message swing to Trump? And I think that's the big question for this election.
Let me take a break. We'll come back, talk about the path to 270, because I heard a political scientist on TV here saying, you know, the Republicans, I think, by a higher percentage, vastly voted early here in Louisiana, and the political scientist was guessing that was because they wanted to really run up the score for Trump, because Louisiana is solid red in our eight electoral votes. But if people in states where it's not contested feel as though their vote is wasted, or what effect that has on them traditionally if they don't even turn out to vote, and also because it is all about the Electoral College, give me some different paths for each candidate as we talk about these swing states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. We're talking to Mac McCorkle, our friend, professor of the practice at Duke University's Terry Sanford School of Public Policy, about the presidential election. 621 traffic now, WWL. All right, 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mac McCorkle, professor of the practice at Duke University's Terry Sanford School of Public Policy. He's in North Carolina, a swing state, and we're talking about the presidential election on Tuesday. So, Professor, let's talk about, it's all about the electoral votes, popular vote. Okay, if you want to keep score, that's fine, but it doesn't really matter. Let's talk about each candidate's path to 270 and these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 swing states, right?
Yes, yes. Well, the easiest way to understand it is that the Democratic path, the path for Vice President Harris, you take the traditionally blue states, Massachusetts, Vermont, California, New York, the traditionally blue states, plus the states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, and the Democrat winning those gets to 270. There's a little.
Wait, let me slow you down a little bit. Michigan, Wisconsin,
Pennsylvania. In combination with traditionally blue states that people think are usually in the Democratic column, those are the three states that Trump won in 2016 and lost in 2020. If Harris wins those three states and wins the traditionally Democratic states, she gets to 270. The little kink there is that in Nebraska and Maine, she needs to win districts, one district in each state to get there. So she can lose, even though Biden won Nevada, Arizona, Georgia. Trump won North Carolina. So that's the variation. Trump needs to break into the blue state, into the blue wall of Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania. If he gets one of those states, then Harris has to repeat the Biden victory somewhere else and gain of a state like North Carolina.
When it comes to, I'm sorry, do you have something else, Professor? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
You know, one thing I want to talk about, we talk about swing states, right, and how the other states like Louisiana, it really doesn't matter when it comes to the presidential race because we're solid red, as is Arkansas, Oklahoma. Texas, I'm looking at this map here, and they got that in pink. Is Texas really in play?
Democrats always wish it was in play, and they do have a strong senatorial candidate in all red who's a former Dallas Cowboy. Mm-hmm. But let's just put it this way. If Texas is really, really competitive and Harris has a chance there, it's going to be a very big night for Democrats.
Yeah.
Be surprised.
If Harris carries Texas, then you got some eyebrows raised, and then that, I think, would really send a message to the Republicans. Now, conversely, what would send a message to the Democrats if Trump were to carry, say, I don't know, pick a state that would be
Virginia and New Hampshire.
Okay. So if Trump were to carry Virginia and New Hampshire, that would send a message to the Democrats that the country, or at least that the movement is very much in, how can I phrase this? It'd be the same thing as Harris winning Texas?
Yes.
Okay. Now let's talk about the swing districts in the swing states, because Maine and Nebraska allocates electoral votes differently than do the other states. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, Professor. And then when you talk about the districts, how many people are we talking about here?
Well, it's done by population. It's a congressional district. They do it by congressional district. So Maine has two districts and Nebraska has two districts. The district that is Omaha, more urban and university townish, is the one that goes Democratic. And then the Portland area in Maine is the one that goes Democratic. The Republicans were thinking about trying to get trying to change that so that they apportion their votes statewide, whoever won statewide. And one Republican who had said no, and so they weren't able to do it.
So if you had to look into your crystal ball, a McCorkle crystal ball that's been handed down from generation to generation. Come on, Mac. You know, you keep it in it's a mahogany case, blue velvet, padded, and then in a bag. You take it out, you polish it off, you look into it. Tell me where we're going to be next Friday, as a matter of fact. Next Friday, November 8th, where we're going to be.
Well, North Carolina will come in should come in fast. We've already had over half of the states, what they think is about half the vote is already in. If you see Harris winning North Carolina, which barely went for Trump last time, you can assume it's going to be a big night for Harris.
Say that one more time.
If Harris wins North Carolina, and that should be a somewhat early indication.
Result, okay.
Then that's going to be a big night for Harris. If you see the other town, for instance, Virginia should come in pretty quickly. If Virginia comes in for Trump, it's going to be a big Trump night. The real issue is that Republicans have been coming out in early voting, which is a good strategy. It was always risky for Republicans to wait to the last day. But what appears to be happening is, and again, we can't exactly tell, but the seems like an overwhelming number of women versus men voting so far.
Professor, we got to run. I'm out of time. I appreciate it. I hope we get to talk to you again.
Right.
So look, if Trump carries Virginia, it'll be a big night for Trump. If Harris carries North Carolina, it'll be a big night for Harris, right?
Correct.
Thank you, Professor. A little bit late time for WWL First News. Quickly to Dave Cohen.